Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of my two-part interview with Jesse Cruz. Now, if you missed any of yesterday's interview, you need to go back and catch up. Jesse is, he lives up in upstate New York. He's an Army veteran, Iraq War veteran, the assistant director of the Ontario County Youth Advocate Program up in New York. He's also a speaker at the correctional facilities up there. And he's the author of the book called Live Your Dash, Discovering the 8 F's to Freedom. And we've been talking about this book and the information in it. Folks, this is a revolutionary book. I mean, I had never thought of that dash on a tombstone. That's what it's the reference to, is the on the dash on the tombstone between the birth date and the date of death is that dash. That dash represents your life. That represents your legacy, and it has just been awe-inspiring. Now, we're going to jump right back into this interview as we start off with the question about how can we live our dash and have fun? But at the same time, it's not all about work, because you want to have fun in the process, right?
Absolutely, definitely.
Which takes us to the fun dash.
Yes, this is the one that I've realized over the years that adults struggle with tremendously, and children do not struggle with it at all, ever. that's like the biggest difference. Like adults, like they just don't know how to do it. And unfortunately, we get so caught up in the mundane tasks and responsibilities and trying to pursue this and trying to pursue that. We forget to have fun in the process. Let me tell you what, people who do things the best usually have fun at what they're doing.
Yeah, that's
true. If you want to be effective at something, have fun doing it.
Amen. But should they focus on having fun while they're doing the task, or should fun be a relaxation technique where you can take a mental break?
I think it's both. I think that you can have fun doing a task, and I think you can have fun by just being still, which is one of the things that as human beings we struggle with, just the fact to be still.
Amen. Amen. And I know a lot of times, like I've said this over and over, it seems like anytime we're going to go on a family vacation, to me, that is more work than just staying home and working, because, you know, you have an agenda, you got a schedule, you got to be here at this time, you're going to eat dinner at this time, you're going to go do this on this day and this on this day. And to me, that is more stressful than just saying, okay, I got the whole weekend off, I'm just going to kick back and relax out on the deck.
Right.
Have you found that as well?
I mean, I can remember times specifically where I was, because as a family, we enjoy traveling. So I can remember specific times where we're on vacation and I'm trying to pack in 57 events that we have to do in one day on vacation. So it didn't feel like vacation. It felt like stress and work. And I don't think that's not fun.
Right.
You know, that's trying to live by the, you know, trying to do gets me to my journey where I want to be. It's not all about doing. Sometimes you just have the ability to just be.
You tell a story about skipping rocks. You want to tell that story real quick?
Oh yeah, this is a interesting story. So my wife and kids, we went hiking to this beautiful place in Ithaca, New York. I mean, it's just a tremendous place of hiking, full of waterfalls, huge gorge and canyon, and it's just all these little swimming holes, and it's just an amazing place. You know, it was a good hour and a half drive there, hour and a half drive back, and miles of hiking while we're there. So we did a lot. And so we're hiking about halfway through our hike. We're trying to reach a huge waterfall with a diving board in front of it. So it's one of the coolest things ever. It's a diving board swimming hole with a waterfall right next to it. And it is huge. And it's just a beautiful sight to see. And as we're going there, we stop because we're going to take a break. And as we're taking a break, we're just getting some water. And then I pick up a little stone And I take this rock and I just throw it across this little thing of water that we're standing next. So it starts skipping like 5 or 6 times. And my kids looked at me like I had 3 heads. And I was like, what, why are you guys looking at me like that? They're like, what did you just do? I was like, I skipped a rock. They're like, what's that? And I was like, hold on. You guys have never seen rocks get skipped before? At that moment, I felt like I had failed them. You know, I'm just like, maybe I wasn't a good dad and I didn't show them this. Because like, that's something I learned very young in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they didn't, they were clueless as to what skipping rocks was. So I start skipping the rocks and they're like, how does it go across the water? I said, I showed them the kind of stones to get. You got to get a thin one, a flat one. It's got to be shaped a certain way. This is how you throw it. So they start practicing and then their rocks don't skip. And then all of a sudden, they start getting the hang of it. All of a sudden, it's skipping across the water. You know, one skip, and then it's 2 skips, and they're getting up to 3, and they're just like amazed. They're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. So then we continue on our hike. We get to the huge waterfall and diving board, and they're having a fun old time because we're swimming. It's a hot day. We made it to the goal, which was to see all the waterfalls and the swimming, and that was the goal of the whole trip. You know, these big, beautiful things that we wanted to see, all these big things that we saw. It was amazing. It was like a trip of a lifetime. It really was. And we get in the car, we're heading back, and we're all just laughing, and we're all just talking about, man, this is a fun time. And we just got done swimming. So I said, hey, girls, what was your favorite part of our trip? They said, skipping rocks. I said, what? I immediately became mad, confused, and proud all at the same time. And I was mad because we could have stayed home and done that. There was water everywhere. We didn't have to spend 3 hours on the road and all these miles of hiking to skip a rock. We could do that right down the street. Like, what do you mean skipping rocks? You know, I was just so confused. And they taught me one of the most valuable life lessons that day is that because, you know, my wife and I, we went there for these big things, the huge things that we saw in the magazine that we researched on the internet. We came there for these, you know, historic places that we thought were mind blowing. And they were, that's what we came there for, these big things. And what my children taught me, it's not always about that. Sometimes it's the small things. You know, the small things like skipping rocks can make such a difference and impact in someone's dash, is that these little memorable moments, you never know when your next great memory is going to happen. It could happen anywhere at any time. You never know what's going to happen. So we need to slow down long enough to appreciate those moments.
Yeah. Amen. That's good. I love that story. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about the finance dash. Now, everybody's chasing finances.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. So for that, I mean, obviously when you're trying to, you know, live a purposeful life, you know, obviously we got to be realistic and understand that finances are a part of that, you know, and what you do with your financial resources, you can either ruin your life or you can enhance your life and bring others with you. So it really just depends on whose hands it is. Some people misquote the Bible regularly and say money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It's the love of money. You know, it's the pursuit of the money. That's what's evil. So it really depends on whose hands it's in is what happens with that money. It can be used for great things like, you know, for example, helping people who are hungry, or it could be used for evil things and use drugs with that. I mean, it really just depends on the person. So I talk a lot about the finance and really what you spend your money on, where your money goes, your heart goes. You know, I mean, they're not separate things. People think, oh, I spend money on this and I'm spending money on that. No, you're not just spending money on this thing. Your money isn't just going to that thing or to that person. Your heart is going with it. A piece of your heart. If a dollar goes here, a dollar worth of your heart goes with it. It's just that simple. So you should be putting it into things, into people, to ministries or businesses or whatever situation that you feel truly invested in with your heart.
Amen. Amen. But let's also look at the forgiveness aspect. For a lot of people, they have accumulated this money and done all these things, and then they realize it was all a waste. And, you know, they have, you know, when you talk about forgiveness, a lot of times people just say forgiving others, and that's a big part of it. But what about forgiving yourself?
Forgiving yourself for me is one of the hardest things to do. Mm-hmm. I think that because I have this expectation of myself that I need to have it all together, that I need to look a certain way, that I need to have a certain status and an appearance. And then when I don't live up to that expectation that I have placed on myself, I feel terrible about who I am as a person. And, you know, I've gone many years with things that I've done wrong to people, and they've forgiven me. And I thought I moved on, but in the process, I never forgave me. And you got to also forgive yourself. When you don't forgive yourself, you live in prison forever.
Yeah. Yeah. So how does someone go through the process of forgiving themselves?
Well, first, I think it's a conversation that you have with God to know that we are not perfect, that we're going to let God down. We're going to let our family down. We're going to let our friends down. We're going to let ourselves down. And we need to know that it's okay to be a human. I think that's the hardest part with forgiveness, because we just think that we just need to be right and be perfect, or the closest thing to it. And I think part of forgiving yourself is accepting your flaws completely. I think that we all know that we have flaws, but we haven't fully accepted that they're a part of the things that we do. And they come out in our personality at times during stressful situations. So I think once you've completely accepted the fact that I am a flawed individual, and although I'm not perfect, I serve a perfect God, and he loves me with my imperfect self, my imperfect traits, and it's okay to be wrong. And I think when you have the ability to be completely authentic and admit fault and admit failure and admit struggle, that actually deepens your relationship with God and with people. And I had to learn to realize I have some things about me that are toxic. I have some not good traits in my life. And when I freely admitted them is when I actually had the most freedom.
Amen.
Actually, my relationships grew more intimate when I was able to say, I have issues. That's when the relationship became real, because that's where the relationship grows. It doesn't grow in, oh, I have it all together. Look at me. Look at all my pictures on Facebook and Instagram and things like that. That's not growth. That's just a personified image of what we want people to see. But what the truth is, the real ministry is when you take your misery and you turn it into a ministry, you take your pain and you turn it into a purpose. That's what we want from people, because we want people to be real. That's the truth about it. And when you're real with yourself, you can forgive yourself, because you know that there's nothing that anyone can use against you, because you put all your cards on the table. They can't say anything about you that you haven't already said about yourself.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. And when you are able to forgive yourself, it makes it easier to forgive others, because they may not have gotten to the point where they're forgiving themselves yet. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. How does all that relate to the family, Dash?
Well, family, I mean, whether anyone likes to admit it or not, we are who we are because of the family that we come from. Whether we had the most greatest mom and dad on planet Earth, or we never met our mom and dad, we are who we are either because of or in spite of the family we were raised and born in. Now, the good thing about that is, being a Christ follower, we get to be reborn into a new family. And so our family is a huge influence. No matter who you are, your family has influenced your life dramatically, for good or for bad. They have shaped us, whether we realize it or not. From our small childhood experiences, even to adulthood, even to our later on years, our family will still impact and influence us some way. So with that, as we get born into certain families, we have no control over that. You know, no one gets to pick who their parents are. Okay, we can't control that. But we can pick, and I talk about this in the book, is that there are certain things that every family has that they wish they didn't. So growing up as a kid, there were certain things I experienced and witnessed that were traumatic for me. And I wished I had never experienced them or witnessed them. I can't change that. That's something that happened in my family. So now as I'm a husband and as a father, I have the ability to make the conscious decision, what things from my family of origin am I going to bring with me into my marriage, into raising my children, and what things am I going to leave behind? And we need to be very intentional about that, because if we are not intentional in deciding what we're leaving behind and what we're bringing forward, we're going to bring all of it into our family that we create when we get older. And some of that stuff is not very good for the family.
Yeah, that is so true. That is so true. How do you impact not just your own family living in your house, but as you were talking about the birth family in the natural that we have and the backgrounds and all that, how can you influence them to look at, you know, not just the Christian life, but also the changing the negatives or releasing the negatives in the family tree, if you want to call it that, to impact them positively as well?
Well, I think, like I said, I think that goes along with forgiveness. I think a lot of times when family members grow up, there's a lot of unspoken tension. There's a lot of bitterness and unforgiveness because there's so many unresolved issues from your childhood that you have with members of your family. Mm-hmm. And so I think they run very deep. And sometimes that's why family members don't talk to each other, or it's awkward at the holidays. People argue, people fight. So I think the best way to make an impact on those family members is to treat them like you treat your friends. Mm. And what I mean by that is, unfortunately, and I've done this before, is that we treat our friends more like family than we treat our family. And I think that is how we've gotten things backwards. We let our friends slide. We give our friends grace when they make mistakes or they do something foolish. We give our friends grace. We don't give our immediate family members that same grace at all. We're harder on them. We're stricter on them. We don't let them slide with anything when it's our family who does it. But if our best friend did the same exact thing, we could let it slide. We could. And I think it's just give them more grace. Give them the same grace you give to other people in your life. Yeah. And know that they're flawed individuals too, and pray for them. And I realize that, you know, there's some things that I've done as a family member, maybe I've done wrong, where I was said something insensitive or foolish, or I was selfish. So I got to remember, it's not all on them. I got to take part for my responsibility on why there might be tension or problems within the family.
Yeah.
I got to be accountable to that. And, you know, I realized that, you know, I talk about how important family is. Family, 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 family first. I'm a family guy. I'm a family guy. But if I'm such a family guy, why can't I pick up the phone once a week to call my brothers and sister? You know what I mean? So yeah. I feel like if I'm going to preach family to the world, why it's so important, then I need to have the courage enough to pick up my phone, either call or text my family that I was raised in, and just say hello. Why not? If I'm preaching family, I need to go do it.
Amen. Hey man, that's good. And that's so important too. It really is. You know, especially in today's society, back, you know, 40, 50 years ago or 100 years ago even, you know, if you grew up in the town XYZ, chances are you are going to live your entire life within about 50 miles of XYZ. And, you know, now it's really started in the 1970s when I joined the military and left home. It was not unusual. Well, put it like this. I left Michigan in 1977, and I've been home probably 10 times in the last, it was what, 50 years, 45 years. Just, you know, usually it's going to a funeral type thing. We just go in and then, you know, a couple of days later leave because my home is now elsewhere. And that's one of the big problems with the society we have today is the roots, I guess you could say, are not there. It's so easy for someone, you know, to graduate from high school and they go off to college. And from college, they go live and, you know, they get a job somewhere else. And next thing you know, the family is not as connected as what they used to be. So, yeah, it is so important. And while my grandparents were alive, I was raised by my grandparents, basically. And I remember every Saturday I'd call both sets of grandparents, you know, even though I was stationed in, you know, Fort Lewis, Washington, Tacoma, Washington, and they lived in Michigan. You know, I would call them every week. When I was stationed overseas, once a month, I would make the trip. It was about a 2-hour trip so I could make a phone call just to stay, you know, let them know I'm thinking about them, you know. But yeah, you're absolutely right on that we need to stay in contact with our family. And even if you're not living in the same area, you still need to call them and talk to them. Everything. This social media stuff, Facebook and all that, it's nice to stay connected that way, but that is not the same as face-to-face or at least voice communications.
Definitely.
And that takes us to the last dash, which is about your faith. Tell us about this dash.
Well, this is what holds everything together, you know, and that's why, you know, you can have all those other F's and do great and all those, but if you don't have the faith to carry them out effectively, then it's not going to be what you want it to be. It's not going to reach the goal. It's not going to get you to where you want to go in life, because faith is the foundation on which our lives are built. You know what I mean? Yeah. Anything, no matter the size of the faith, you know, for example, I can use an example of small faith, because I've talked to people who said they don't have faith. I said, everybody has faith. It's just what you have faith in.
Yeah.
You know, who you have your faith in, you know, whether that's faith of, hey, when I go to turn my car on, it's going to start. That's faith. I believe that it's going to turn on before it actually does. So it's, you know, it's believing without seeing, you know what I mean? And I believe that my car is going to turn on when I go to start it, and hopefully it happens, because sometimes it doesn't. So it requires, that's not a lot of faith, but it's faith. And that, and a little bit of mustard seed faith is all you need. You know, when you take time to put your faith in God, everything becomes better. I've learned over the years that when my relationship with God and my faith is getting put into God the way that it needs to be, every other relationship in my life improves. Being a husband, a father, a brother, a son, uncle, a worker, a friend, a neighbor, everything improves when that relationship improves first. My faith needs to be first. My relationship with God is my priority.
Amen. Amen. And when you live your faith like that, that also helps all the other dashes to come together as well. Forgiveness, the family, which will impact, you know, your business, which is your finances. So absolutely. Yeah. And our faith has to be top priority. You know, people say, well, it's family, country, and God. No, it should be God, family, country. You know, I mean, it's
right.
Absolutely. What is the one major takeaway that you want your readers to get from this book?
I think that if people can realize that our time is limited, that we are just a vapor, we're here today and gone tomorrow, that life passes away in a blink of an eye. If you can get, if you can get the perspective of understanding that at any moment your breath could be your last, you will live differently. You will. Mm-hmm. Most people don't think about it like that, because we feel like we have forever.
Yeah.
Here on this earth. And we don't. You know, my daughter's an example of that. She was given 42 days. That's all she had here on this earth. You know, and I never thought I'd be saying that. And I never thought I'd be able to have the courage enough to share this story about her passing. But it's only through my faith in God is why I was able to. And ironically, through this, my daughter's name who passed away, her name is Faith. And even though when I felt like my faith was dwindling, my faith was fading, it is the hope that I will see her again. It is God's love that kept me moving. So faith, hope, and love all blended together. I think people need to take that with them and understand, even when you lose faith, even when your faith is shaken to the core, that if you can hold on to hope and the feeling that you get from the faith that someday in the future, God will be there waiting for you with open arms, that you were loved and accepted if you just love and accept him. And he has a permanent home for everyone.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And, you know, in the natural, sounds like, oh, you know, that's, you know, such a life was wasted. No, because we're still talking about her. And this book is a result of that. And she's impacting lives all around the world right now, just from those 42 days that she was here.
Yeah. The power of faith is this, is that a 1 pound girl that you never met before has impacted your life. A 1 pound girl that none of these people have ever met have been influenced and touched by her life. That is the power of faith.
Amen. Amen. That is so true. And like I said, through the, she's impacting through this audio podcast. She's impacting through your book. She's impacting when you go speak at a group setting or a conference. She is still impacting people's lives in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So now that the book is published, what other projects are you working on?
So this, the first book, you know, that was designed as an inspirational, you know, personal growth type book, you know, but the second book, that is where it's more written as an autobiography. So my second book is actually a day by day, moment by moment experience that we shared with her in the hospital room. So I share the events leading up to how me and my wife met, because we had gone through great tragedies prior to our meeting. And then us getting married, And that's us, you know, having the child in the hospital, what we experienced, her passing, and what's happened since then. So it's an autobiographical story of everything that we've gone through this journey. So I'm looking forward to that. That book was very emotional for me, honestly, because I'm sharing in great detail mm-hmm. of the trauma that we've experienced, but also the hope that we've got from that pain. So it's a very in-depth detail, day-by-day story of all that we've gone through.
Amen. Amen. And where can someone get a copy of your book? Is it available on Amazon?
Yeah, so people can find the book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, through my publisher, PennantPublications.com, or I have a lot of people contact me directly. That's a big portion of my sales. People, I've noticed they want a like personalized copy, so people have just reached out to me on Facebook, and I just, you know, sign the book and personalize the message and send it to people. So that's been a huge part of my sales as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Jesse, this has been great. And, you know, I never really stopped to consider that dash on a tombstone as telling the story and legacy of my life. And I mean, this is a great concept. And I thank you for writing this book to help us focus on that dash and to leave a legacy as we transition from this life to the life to come. I appreciate that. That opened my eyes. Amen.
Amen.
If someone wanted to get in touch with you to ask a question or possibly have you come out and speak to their group or church group, how can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
So, I mean, the best way to get hold of me is through email, authorjessecruz@gmail.com. They could find me on Instagram, authorjessecruz on Instagram. Jesse Cruz or Jesse A. Cruz is my business page on Facebook. So those are all the best ways to get in contact with me.
Amen. Amen. So, folks, this is truly an eye-opening book. I mean, this conversation has sparked some deep thoughts in my life. As I said, I never thought of the dash on a tombstone as representing my life. I mean, that's revolutionary, to say the least. You need to get a copy of Jesse's book, Living Your Dash. You have to get this one. This can impact your life and the lives of those you love in so many different ways, all for the better. Amen. Go down the show notes, get your copy today. And reach out, contact Jesse Cruz as well. You can tell he's a great speaker. He's going to be a blessing to any group or conference you're hosting and looking for a speaker. Contact him today as well. Jesse, thank you for taking the time to join us today. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everything that you're doing to advance the kingdom.
Amen. Folks, that is all the time we have for today. Glory to God. Time goes so fast when we're doing this. For Jesse Cruz and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.